We are Kazumatsuri, a community for key fans, and this is the Clannad Book Club podcast. Today we're here to discuss the Kepe route of...
Don't say her first name!
Oh, I'm sorry! We're here to discuss Hiragi-chan's route, and joining us this week we have the regular cast of myself, Bishkato, and Pepe, and also joining us today we have the wonderful Naoki Sato.
That was my introduction, come on.
What?
Make it more exciting or something. Oh well.
Oh, he wants us to play him up. Okay.
Alright, drum roll, everybody! Naoki Sato! Yay!
Yay! Woo!
Greetings, everyone. I'm Naoki Sato.
So, I've received your resume here, Naoki Sato, and I'm looking at here, and there seems to be a few blank spots here. You didn't provide an age, or an address, or a telephone number, or an education, or any employment history.
Oh, come on. Is that really that important? I mean, what counts is the spirit, right?
Well... looking at this, I can see your strong subjects in school were recess, and your weak subjects were homework. Your extracurricular activities include the Go Home Club?
That's correct.
I see, and your motivation for this position on the podcast was that you want people to bow down to you.
Of course, and I see this podcast as the first step.
I see. Your interests include... And I can see your strong points are your superior opinion, and your weak points are talking to people. I can see this might be a problem.
Wise words, don't you think?
Well, let's just cut to the chase and let's hear your 30-second recap.
The tale of the boy who didn't exist in the anime. Once upon a time, Tomoya finds a cute boy named Kape on the street and gives him shelter in Sunohara's suite. After seducing Sunohara, the sinful Kape elopes with Ryu, who takes him away. But then, a shocking revelation, Kape only loves his smelly foot and will follow it into certain damnation. Taking the advice of the legendary MC, Ryu chops off the cheetah's foot with fervor and glee. In a hospital room, Kape's cries are drowned out by Ryu's laughter, and they live happily ever after.
Very classy.
That was very amazing. I loved it. I loved every second of it.
What?
Glad you liked it.
Alright. Perfect, man. Great job.
We can't even do the podcast anymore because now I'm just going to be thinking about Cafe's stinky foot.
But at any rate, what do you guys think of Kape? Like, this is my first time getting to experience his route, so I have some thoughts on it, but,
his character or the route?
Character,
the character, to begin with.
Well, he's kinda random. Can we call him that?
I'm sorry, it's Hiragi-chan.
Yes, it's Hiragi-chan. All the people in our audience are complaining that we're not calling her Hiragi-chan. Well, not just CJ. Anyway.
Aizen too.
Oh, Aizen too. Oh, yeah. Anyway. Yeah, I guess he is pretty random, as you said. Like, he's a very quirky person, but that quirkiness also makes him very, very fun.
He's like somebody gave Ricky from Little Busters a bit too much caffeine.
And a spine.
Yeah. That's definitely an overdose.
A lot weirder than Riki, to be honest. He's one of the weirdest characters I've ever seen in a key game, and I love it.
We all love Hiragi-chan.
The thing that's interesting about Hiragi-chan, is it's like, I feel like in the end, when you consider the route. Personally, this is just my take on it. I feel like whenever they designed him, it was like almost like a throwaway, because I feel like it probably didn't particularly matter much about the character's actual build-up when you take into consideration what the actual struggle was.
It ended up being a lot more situational than character-focused, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I'd say they just threw together some quirks and looked if it worked, and amazingly enough, it worked wonderfully, so they just kept it that way.
I guess. Like, this sort of story could have worked with any other personality, even if it wasn't Cappé's quirkiness. But hey, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed reading his quirkiness.
I think that plays to it, though. Like, I think that's a good thing.
I'm definitely glad.
I think that's perfect.
Definitely glad that Cappé is the way he is.
So, like, we could, like, take a more analytical lens and look at this, like, his random personality is a result of him struggling to find an identity, because, you know, he loses the one thing that really makes him himself. Like, this is a big theme, this root, identity. Like, he was, like, an orphan who didn't have a reason to exist, and then through Yoshino's music he discovered his passion of running, and then that happens, and he loses that, so it's like he's struggling to find an identity for himself, and that could maybe explain his random character? I don't know, just food for thought.
He's just a kind of character that lives in the moment.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've met a few people who are like that, who are just kind of very quirky. Defining. I feel like if you were to describe Cappé as some sort of archetype, it would probably be quirky. Quirky is a very good word, I think, to use for him. Mm-hmm. Because of the randomness, but I've known a few people like that, and I would say that how Cappé wanders about and does things is probably a bit far fetched in the end. But looking at it at a base level, it's pretty good.
Like a believable character trait, I guess you could say.
He's just the whole, like, wandering town to town and being in the condition he's in is just kind of a bit weird. I feel like that's when, like, kind of some anime is seeping in, but as far as his mannerisms, totally believable.
I had to name one particular interesting trait of his. It's like how he just naturally takes advantage of people. Like, once anyone is nice to him, and then he just thinks, yeah, that's totally natural. Like, Sonora brings him a drink, and he starts treating him like a slave. Yeah. Or, like, one of his later interviews, he was angry at the boss of the place because he didn't give him tea. Like, how could he? What does he think he is not to serve him tea?
He's very full of himself, and I think that that kind of pride plays into a bit with his problem, because he refuses to have the surgery, as we all know. And I think if he wasn't that prideful, he wouldn't be that rejecting of the surgery, probably. I guess that's one thing that'll be related.
I'm getting into looking too deep into this territory, but I'm just trying to think of, like, reasons for why he would act this way.
Princess Hiragi-chan.
Yeah.
Actually, I have a guess as well.
You could give your guess first, then.
Like, he knows what's in front of him, what's gonna happen to him. So he stops caring about what he says, or what anyone thinks about what he says.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
Like sort of you can treat other people like, treat Sonora like trash, what do I care?
But it also makes me think of his upbringing. Like, he was raised as, like, an orphan, and then he rose to, like, become an athletic star. And sort of, like, not a star, but definitely a prodigy. And I guess, like, he sort of would have garnered the admiration of everyone around him. Like, wow, what an inspiration. This guy, you know, he's amazing. And you kind of get that sort of preferential treatment at that point, where it's like, it's a bit of sympathy, a bit admiration. especially like when he would have lost his legs, I can see him getting a lot of sympathy from people. And being deprived of that, he might be like,
spoiled.
Yeah, he becomes like entitled, he gets a bit entitled to it. Like, I have actually met people like that who have lived with like some sort of disability, but they get lots of preferential treatment because of it. Like, they get like, yeah, so like everyone like is supporting them and helping them, and they actually become spoiled. Like, I've actually met someone like that.
I see.
It's really interesting, wrong. But I wonder if that might explain Cafe's behavior a little bit.
I didn't think people like that existed, honestly.
But they do. Hey, they do.
Hey, I guess you're right. Okay.
Yeah, everyone wants to. Okay, everyone wants to like feel sorry for the poor victim of some horrible incident. But like, once everyone feels sorry for them enough, they might just start feeling a little bit spoiled by it, you know.
Getting controversial.
Yeah, it is. It is controversial. I'll admit.
It's like it's been thrown around of like the idea of someone who's like overcome alcoholism. But it's like, they were an alcoholic. But it's like,
it's glorifying them.
Know what I mean?
Yeah. It's different. But, I guess I'm more focusing on, like, the treatment you get from that. As sort of like, you can become a bit too used to being, you know, spoiled in that manner.
There's overcoming, and there's strength in overcoming, and then there's pampering, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
As like a reward.
Yeah.
It can be misconstrued.
Well, maybe I'm looking into this too sense. Deeply, but I thought that might be an interesting way of interpreting it.
Yeah. We should be careful, yeah.
I was amazed at how the comedy in this route was ridiculous. Sudahara is falling for Hiraki-chan.
And he plays that all the way. All the way so at the out of end, left field,
like
that.
I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting him, like as soon as he found out it was a guy, it's gonna be like a classic comedic reveal. But he just like keeps going with it.
Sumahar is stubborn, man.
He really is. Oh my god, I was lost.
He will forever be
Hiraki-chan.
I just wrote in my notes. This route was way too homo for anime.
I really loved how Ryo reacted to when she finds out that Sunohara might have done something to Cappy.
Oh yes, let's talk about that.
Okay, let's talk about that. So like,
yeah, that's good.
You could see how she was kind of hesitating, being the shy girl, but not once did she let go of his sleeve, and she even held tighter while she was asking, "So what did you do to Cappy-san?"
Yep,
and Sunohara was genuinely afraid of her.
At that point, it did start getting creepy. Like, seriously, that it's line.
Yonder vibe.
Yep.
That one line, but not with Cappy-san. Not. Seriously, not for me, that's
Cappy-san.
That's so good!
That's the scariest line of the entire visual novel. Seriously. It's like on a different level of scary. Like, there's especially monsters or murderers. And then there's one level above that. It's like an angry housewife. Yes. You don't want to mess with them.
That's what you call yandere.
It's so unbecoming of Ryo too. So you know she's fucking serious.
Yeah. I think it's all the scarier exactly because Ryo is the one saying it. If it was Kyo, for example, it would be like, oh, that's the usual Kyo. But yeah. Ryo is like,
yep.
She's definitely yandere, one way or another.
Ryo got treated well this route. I feel like this is very much... I'm glad we played it after Kyo's route, because this almost felt like it was written intended to be like a sequel to Ryo's ending. Where it's kind of like, we see the Ryo at the end of the Kyo route, who was like, you know, had finally achieved some development after letting go of her attachment to Okazaki. And now we actually see what results from that is that she can actually develop into a really, you know, well-rounded character if you give her Cape, I guess.
We no longer see what we saw last week in the Cure route where she's trying to be another person, which she really isn't. We actually get to see the Ryo that Ryo really is.
Yes.
Yep. 100% Ryo.
It's quite a good character, I must say. Fuck the haters.
Quite a bit of build-up. It's so funny. It's like the voice acting performance is quite quite good in this route.
Yes.
And it takes all the way up until the end for Ryo to actually shine, but it's like, wow, that was a whole lot of setup for that.
Yeah. The voice acting
now, she can speak. Yay!
Considering her personality, she does need a lot of setup. You can't just go from bumbling shy girl to cool character in a few scenes.
Just wanted to say that Ryo needs a reason to go all out, because that's like her expertise. Like, she's a boring girlfriend, if I may say it that way. But when she crosses from the girlfriend territory into the wife territory, that's where she really shines. And that's what she did. She became more than just a girlfriend.
I have a bone to pick with Biz. I was talking to him, like, he wasn't included in the last podcast because he wasn't able to turn up. But I was talking to him about it, and you said you really didn't like how Ryo was included in that route, and you felt like she was very much a plot device, right?
Yes.
Yes. So, I'm wondering if your thoughts on Ryo's character in the broader context of Clannad has shifted at all after having read Capet's route.
Sure, it has. It's like, this route's weird, because while they did take advantage of using Ryo here, and it's very good because it gives her very important development and it does make her better, I will stand by that the route could have been what it was, completely and totally not connected to whatever characters were actually in it. Because, okay, I'll start by just talking about Cafe for a second. So this route comes to the point where I was getting kind of bored reading it. I gave it a 4. I gave it a 4. It was like a 3.5, but I gave it a 4. I was being nice. It got to the point when I was reading it where I was just kind of like, okay, where are we going? Like, the characters were just kind of weird. Cafe is crazy. Sunahara is funny. But obviously, I've never read the VN. I've only watched the anime. So I didn't know anything about this.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm reading this, and I'm like, I obviously don't have any idea where it's going either. But my thought was that it's kind of going in the direction of, this is a character who is making the most of his life as sort of a juxtaposition to Tomoya, who is doing fucking nothing. Like, I think that's the angle they were trying to go for initially, but anyway.
And
Yeah, and that does come into play actually rather heavily at the end. So that's true. As I was playing, I feel like there was definitely some foreshadowing, like with the whole antacid pills or whatever. Yep. I was just kind of like, yeah, that's bullshit. There's actually something else going on.
Yes, kids.
I wasn't gonna buy that. I was like, no, there's something else going on. But the most interesting aspect while I was, you know, reading it is, Tomoya just kept talking about how Cape was making his life just so much better. And he didn't really know why. He's just like, he's just one of those people that when you're around him, he just makes you happier. And I guess it's just kind of the aura that he gives off because he's just very forthright and just kind of going about his life day to day. Like I said earlier, he's definitely living day to day. And he even says that he's like, you know, past is the past. I'm appreciating the present. Which is super important coming into play later as well. But anyways, as far as the actual developments are concerned, it ends up not really mattering, because what does it do? It does what any other story that has this kind of a topic in it would do, in that it shocks you. Because you read some news article about someone running, and then you find out, you know, it's Cafe, and you're like, all right, where are we going with this? And then you find out he has cancer, and it's just like, what?
Yep.
It was
like, it's something that you just don't see coming at all, and it just hits out of nowhere, and that's very true to what that disease or that ailment is like. It is something that just creeps up and it just happens, and you don't know when it's going to happen, what age you'll be, who it's going to happen to. But odds are it probably will happen, because that's us being human. That's what our cells do. They just decide, oh, it's cancer time. And
cancer time.
You're never going to be prepared for it.
Isn't it nice that they actually bothered to mention the disease by name in this room?
Yeah.
Hmm. Oh, yes. That's very important. May I talk about it?
Who said that? And who said in the forum? There's somebody who said that.
On the forum, that was Zach M.
Zach M, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Zach M.
So, normally in key visual novels, they don't call the disease by name. It's just a disease. But this time, mm-hmm. they did.
AIDS.
And I believe there's an important reason for it. Because if you know what the disease is, if you know its name, you can look up how do you treat it. If the characters don't get that treatment, then the reader will just think about, well, how should it have happened? How could they have gotten that treatment that they need? But if you don't call the disease by name, it's just like a force of nature. You can't do anything about it. You just have to accept it and live with it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, the disease has a name.
There's a choice.
You know how to treat it. Yep.
You have a choice to treat it if you want to.
And this time, it's not about the illness itself. It's about the choice.
Mm-hmm. That is, story-wise, yeah, that is an important point. And I think that is the main conflict when it comes to Cape. I actually have some things to say about the illness. Like, first is, another reason why they might have said it is specifically because they need an illness that will affect his legs. So, like, they couldn't have just chosen some weird illness like AIDS or whatever, because that won't affect his legs in any way. So, I guess osteosarcoma is one of the more likely choices, definitely.
Bone cancer, in case you aren't familiar with the term.
Yeah. Because Cape's legs are his identity, they wanted to make a story where the character has to face essentially losing his own identity due to forces that he really can't control. So
it's not even so much his identity as it's something that he has a passion for, and it plays into the ending, and it's like what it is that makes him happy.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Because of what... I guess we're going to assume it's Yoshino, right? Because of what Yoshino said, he believes that running of his is his own identity. And even Yoshino plays back to that line. He said, what an irresponsible thing to say. Because Yoshino himself knows that you can't hook your identity over just one thing that you're good at. Because he lost that thing.
Am I the only person who kind of gets the idea that it was probably Yoshino that gave him that?
I think everyone thinks that it's probably Yoshino who gave that stupid piece of it. Damn it, Yoshino.
The thing is, only Cape thinks that running is his identity. Like, he had that talk with Tomoya, and I believe I quoted that line in the forum, where he says that, I don't know you as a guy who runs. I know you as a random funny guy who's my friend.
I love you as you are now.
Right. That was a beautiful line. I love that.
It's an identity that has nothing to do with running.
Mm-hmm.
He's perceived differently by his friend Tomoya and by Ryo also.
So it's kind of like he's almost clinging to the past unnecessarily.
Yep.
You know? Maybe not unnecessarily. Sometimes. Who's to judge, but still, like,
it's an interesting conflict, because, as I had said earlier, he was talking about appreciating the present, and I guess it's almost to the point where he's appreciating the present so much that he's worried about the future counteracting what it is that he's doing now, where he's like, if I don't have my legs, I can't keep doing what I'm doing right now, let alone do what I was doing in the past. It's like kind of a weird kind of counteraction to change, but also avoiding the past. It's very strange.
Yeah.
It's complex.
Mm.
But anyways, going all the way back, let's just rewind. Pull tape back. As far as the situation is concerned, there are lots of little quirks and interesting things that come about, and I feel like that is just being a good writer and, you know, taking advantage of your designs and things and using them in the right way. And then, you know, props for that, because it made it feel more natural, even though I would still say that the entire situation is a little bit unnatural.
Thanks, Guy, for that.
Contrary to what a lot of the other routes have been like so far, I didn't get to talk much about Kyo and Ro, but I felt like there was kind of a little bit of weirdness in that route as well, but I'll write about that later. And I guess maybe this is just a Kai thing, I don't know, where it becomes very focused on the subject and not so focused on the reality of reaching that scenario, because whatever is the lead up to that scenario is not necessarily important as much as the actual climax is important. So in regards to Cappe, the Roots climax is absolutely brilliant. It's by all means, I think it's perfect. Like the emotional climax in this route is outstanding. And like, going back to Ryo and like her, what she actually says to Cappe is like, again, going back to being kind of far-fetched to me. Like, I'm just kind of like, really? Like, that's kind of stupid.
The whole thing about being
pregnant. At the same time, the implications and what it is that she's actually saying is what gets through to him, because even he's just kind of like, that's bullshit. But like, the idea nestles its way in, and her presentation is just phenomenal. And it works, right? So, while I would say that it does definitely improve Ryo, I will say that it didn't necessarily have to be her. While it was good that it was, it doesn't necessarily have to be her. And there's a large benefit to that she was able to make that decision herself, and God bless Yoshino for being the person to say that it's a decision that she has to make. She has to make it on her own. But there's one catch, and it's that the seeds still have to be planted for her. And that still bothers
her. Yes, so the whole choice with Yoshino.
She still has to have a reason to advance. It can't be something that she finds for herself, and that still bothers me. So I will stand where I stood firmly. Although I do think that she definitely vastly improved in this route, and I feel like that was a very good advantage that they took, because I feel like she needed a lot more, and they gave her a lot more, and good on them for it.
That's a very level structure.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Biz, because like when the first time I played Cappe 6 years ago, I was very angry at how they played that Yoshino choice, because I did not use a walkthrough until, and then I could never get the Cappe ending until I used the walkthrough. And you're right in that she needs that push from Yoshino to be able to say that kind of thing to Cappe, but in a way, it also plays into her kind of awkward personality, because let's face it, she didn't really have to say that she's pregnant in order to convince Cappe, but it's the first thing that came to her mind, and it's funny, because I guess that's how her mind thinks, you know? And
yes, it's
if she was more, I don't know what the word for it, like rational maybe, she wouldn't have thought that, oh, I need to tell him I'm pregnant. I just need to tell him that I want to spend my future with you, etc.
Exactly. Yeah.
Shifting the party to the friends of the future.
Mm-hmm. That's where they get in the end, where she's like, okay, but I want to, so yes, you can't go anywhere, basically, or you can't give up.
Yeah. Maybe it was played for laughs.
Because you need to do this for me, basically. Like it's like she's finally saying something that she wants to have done for herself. Mm. She's like, I want to be a parent, I want to have a family, and you can't leave me here without that. That's not fair.
Mm. Essentially, that's what she was saying.
does make you think, though, like, we have this bad end, but how do you reckon Cape ended up in Kyo's route? That's what Carafine is pondering at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Interesting to think about.
Because it's heavily implied that he met with Ryo at the end of Kyo's route.
Yes, it is. And Carafine himself did say that maybe because of Ryo's experience with Tomoya, she already got that push that she gained from Yoshino, and that she could convince him to survive. And that's a nice way to think about it. I mean,
that is a nice way.
And yeah. I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, in the Kyo route, Ryo has been through a lot. She learned a lot. She became bolder. She became stronger as a person. Right. And, for example, when Tomoya was about to tell her that he does love her, she did not despair like she did in the bad ending, but she kept walking. Like, she started acting and resolving the situation. That's an important trait.
Yeah. So this, and it's something that she still needs to get in the Cape route, because, I mean, through a very large portion of the route, for the very large portion of the climax, she still relies on Tomoya quite a bit.
There was a big time skip where Tomoya was out of the picture, though. Don't forget that.
Yeah, like right after they convince him. But it's good to see how the writers made her character consistent, you know? Like, the Ryo in Cape route is the same as the Ryo before the events of Kyo route. And her personality is consistent, as you guys pointed out. And I think that also plays into good writing. And it's also good that Kai wrote both of these routes, because if someone else wrote the Cape route, I don't think it would have ended up as consistent as it is.
Yeah.
Yep, definitely.
I wanted to take another step back and talk about Tomoya again, actually, here for a second. Where if we think about what Ryo was saying to Cape, and then what Tomoya actually tells him, I can't remember if it was before, I think it was before, tells him prior to that, he said something that just kind of took me aback. We see an interesting break in Tomoya's character, whereas obviously he's starting to see a lot of beauty in nature and stuff in this route, because, you know, Cape is just, he's a good bloke to be around, you know, he just makes you feel good. A lot of people that are like that in this world, I know I've met a few. It's so unfortunate that that he goes and has to deal with what he has to deal with. But he says something super interesting that just completely shocked me. And that's when he's telling Cape about the position that he would leave Ryo in. And he said, he tells Cape, Cape told him, you know, I was an orphan and stuff. He tells Cape, you know, I was, you know, a single kid and I only had one parent. I never knew my mom. And he says that he always saw his dad in such a pained existence because he didn't have his wife and he didn't have his mom or whatever. And that he just had his kid. And it was something that was very painful for his father to go through. And he's just like, you know, I would see Ryo having to go through that. And that's not something that you would want to do to someone. And this shocked me because he's using his father, who up to this point he's used as such kind of a point of contempt. He's using his father as a point of actual grief and telling him, you know, I wouldn't want that to happen. I hated having to see him like that, and I don't want anyone else to have to be like that. It's like he actually has some sympathy here, and I thought that was very interesting that he brought that out. Like, it's something that's it's buried within him that he's actually mentioning for the first time here.
It's definitely interesting because I think Tomoya's greatest problem is his connection to his father and their broken relationship.
Mm-hmm. It's something he doesn't ever bring up in any of the other routes, really. Like, he's always avoiding it. Like, skeleton in the closet he never wants to bring up. But here, he actually uses it to help Cape, and that's like Yeah, very remarkable, almost, like...
Very down-to-earth for Tomoya. Yeah. It's very shocking.
Wow.
I don't see it as out of character for him, because I know that deep down inside, I think there was a podcast where you said, Biz, Tomoya just wants a daddy.
Yeah.
And deep down inside, that's how he feels. And I guess, like you said, it's definitely empathy. And Tomoya is the kind of person who doesn't want to push his problems on others. So that, I guess that's why he's avoiding saying that thing to other people as much as possible. But when he does, when he has the chance, he knows exactly what to say at the right moment. And that's happened in many other routes.
One thing that really occurred to me to this route is it's really continuing the theme we saw when Okazaki talks to Yoshino of this town as being something important. And how, like, Cappé comes into this town and he's like, this town is different. I get a really different impression from, you know, being around the people here. It's like, I can't remember his wording, but it's very interesting. Nick, do you want to talk more about that?
Yep. Actually, I wrote down some of his lines about that.
Excellent.
He talks about how this town is great, but don't you think this town is great? How do I put it? It's really warm here. Yeah, I guess it's there's a feeling of unity to it. Like, and everyone who lives in this town is gentle. I guess that's not the right word. It's not as simple as that. Even though we are strangers, they don't feel like strangers, I guess.
Mm.
So, Cappé kind of feels that this town is special. And he decides to stay there pretty quickly. This is something I want to connect to what Pepe said a couple of podcasts ago, about how, right at the beginning, Tomoya said, I hate this town.
Mm.
Right? And here goes Cappé, and he says, I love this town. But both of their experiences, they're not tied to the town as, like, a location. It's more about the people who live in this town. Yep. But Cappé is kind of better at recognizing that fact. Recognizing that it's about the people, not the town itself, but it's still the reason why he loves the town.
It shows to his experience. Because, you know, Cape's been around, whereas Tomoya's been there.
He is. Yeah.
So he doesn't have anything
to
compare with. So
it's not like...
Coming from someone like Cape, it's actually much more believable because of his experience that he would be able to pick up on something being different.
The town is special. Yep. It's not just a great town. It's a special town.
By the way, when Cape talks about this town and starts praising it, and then he says, and it's also the town where you live, Tomoya.
Oh.
And right away, Tomoya gets negative. He says, well, a town where there are many people who are like me, that's gotta be one shady town. It's like, as soon as the topic reaches him, he gets negative. Like, right away.
Yeah. Tomoya isn't very confident of his own reputation. He knows that he's seen as a delinquent.
Stuck up in that whole idea of the perceived delinquent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, it's just your living situation, man. It ain't you. It ain't you.
Yeah, that's how many people are saying that. I just really think it's so refreshing, this route, that we actually get to support a couple instead of being actively involved in it. Like, it's so atypical of these sort of bishojoge, where you are supporting a different couple than your own, you know? It's really cool, and I really like it.
And the character is a dude, even though they make lots of jokes and things. But you got Cape, and it's very different. It's not your typical VN at this time.
It's not there ain't no harem here. But I think we can all agree that Ryo and Cape are quite a good couple. I guess we can talk about
also, this is
they're
another
so sweet
route
together.
This is another route that is short. It is short.
Very, very short.
But that that climax is just, it's well written. It's really well written.
Feeling length works in its favor. Works. It felt very,
oh yeah,
felt a very good length. Didn't ever say it's welcome.
So about Ryo and Cappe, I think they're a very good couple, and some people might have thought that like them going out on like the first day was too sudden, but I never mentioned this publicly, I guess, but I think Cappe is the kind of guy who obviously would confess the moment he starts feeling for someone, because that's the kind of guy he is. And Ryo, on the other hand,
he's very impulsive.
He is very impulsive. Ryo, on the other hand, people seem to forget that she's also quite bold. And Ryo, I also believe, is not the kind of girl who would deny her own feelings once she starts feeling things. Like, comparing to Kyo, who would be all tsun-tsun, it's not like I like you, baka. Ryo is more open about her feelings, so when Cappe confess, I can imagine her thinking that, hey, I like this guy too, why don't I go out? And, so...
Banging in the hospital room, though.
Jeez. Well,
hey, what else are they supposed to do?
Cappe is confined to a bed, so she doesn't really have much of a choice in terms of location. But going into there being a couple, I wanted to point out what Yoshino said when Ryo asked, is it okay if I tell a lie? He said that with love, even a lie can become the truth. And that kind of struck to me, having been in a relationship for a while now. It kind of plays into how when you're in a relationship, you have this kind of unspoken trust between the two people. So when you do say a lie, then even if it's not the truth, your partner will believe it because you trust each other, right? And I think that's what Yoshino meant when he said even a lie can become the truth. So even if you lie, the other person will believe it and you will continue playing with that lie. Although it's played off for less, and I guess Yoshino didn't expect that the lie would be her saying she's pregnant, that they find out what that lie is. So.
I'm pretty sure I can picture Yoshino with like a the shock face of just like, huh?
That's the lie you were going to say.
He found out that that's the lie. You choose just like, that's not what I meant.
it was a powerful quote for me at the time, but it ended up not so powerful after all. Anyway.
That's Yoshino.
It was kind of half comedy, half truth. It's like a half truth in and of itself. It's kind of bullshit. But
hey, then you could kind of interpret the whole like I'm gonna like sleep with you, even when you're not looking, sort of thing as like a lie that becomes truth.
Because that would work.
I'm 100% sure that when Ryo gets started on that, Cappe ain't gonna reject her. No sir.
That's true.
I guess I'll take just one of them, and it's about the topics of this route. They're not that easy to notice. Like, one of them is, of course, what is more important than life, because that's a decision that Cappe has made, and others disagree with it. Like, his legs are more important to him than his life, because his legs are the meaning of his life. On the other hand, for you, she doesn't care much about his legs. She doesn't even care if he can hold a job or support her, family. Like, she literally said that it doesn't matter to her, when he doesn't have legs, because as long as he has arms to embrace her, that's all that matters. And that's also a very powerful line. Like, all the great lines go to Ryo and Yoshino in this route. Like, really great lines.
Girls cry.
As long as you have hands to embrace me. Oh my god.
I cried like a bitch. Oh my god. This is very surprising. I did not expect out of all of Clannad for this route to end up being the one, but this route fucking punched me right in the stomach. It was hard, dog. Yeah. It hit hard. Yeah.
Anyway, so...
So...
Heavy.
The second
God
topic...
damn it, Ryo, why did you make me cry?
Just can't get over it. Anyway.
Yeah. The second topic of this route that I noticed was fate. Because, let's be honest, you and Capet are destined to be together. Like, there's no way they would never have met. Because, first off, Kyo runs him over twice.
Yep.
Twice. One time, Ryo is there and she helps him and she gives him her handkerchief and runs off. Mm-hmm. Then he gets hit again. He remembers Ryo. He said that he wants to meet her, that this might have been love at first sight.
Hmm.
And that's he's gonna look
fate.
For her.
The red string of yep. fate, yeah.
And that's not even the end. Then he meets Tomoya, who is connected to Ryo. And then, when he goes visit Tomoya, he finds Botan, who belongs to Kyo.
Yep.
And that's when
he
finally meets Ryo again. Like, this is definitely fate. There is no way they would not have met. They are destined
even
to each other. They
the
are
way the previous route went.
Yeah, even not in Cape route. You know, we all know that Ryo wants to be a nurse, right? And considering his situation,
yep.
I would imagine that I could imagine his face like being in the hospital and then suddenly a nurse comes in and he's like, "Oh my god, you're the girl who gave me that handkerchief," and he still has that handkerchief with him. I can
yep.
imagine that happening in an alternate timeline.
Yeah.
It's totally fate.
Mm. Yeah, fates are definitely
that's
a big
really
theme
sweet.
That keeps popping up in Clannad, I think. So hopefully we'll have more time to talk about that in future routes.
Yeah.
So I just want to talk about the ending because we've kind of like danced around that a little bit, but because like I thought the climax was amazing, but then we have the scene after where it's like, you know, he's resolved to get the treatment, and then it turns out he doesn't need to lose his legs. Kind of rubbed me the wrong way. That almost felt like a bit of a.
I disagree.
It's not enough.
I'll fight
it's
you,
not
Aspie.
Enough?
I will fight you, Aspie, and
yeah?
I'll tell you why.
Okay. I know Q Katsiki Miyu on the forum agrees
okay.
with me.
This is okay. super interesting. This is super interesting, and I know Pepe loves these light orbs, so let's get into
yeah.
it. So, the best line, like one of my favorite lines, is when Cape tells Tomoya, "You know, I never teared up when I was running." Because he was so happy about his future. Like, he's so happy about being able to be there for Ryo and having something new. Like, that idea made him so happy, right? And I was like, oh man, it's like he's truly happy, but he doesn't get the light orb. And I'm just like, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
So we go on and we skip 5 years into the future. And Cape is healed. And or more or less,
maybe.
that's what it appears to be, because Ryo tells him, you know, hey, it takes 5 years for him to finally actually be considered cured of his cancer or whatever. So Tomoya steps in, and it's been 5 years, and basically you basically find out he's good, right, and that he's gonna now be able to walk again and stuff, or at least be able to walk better. And
really no. Really
this is when this is when they get the light orb. This is when it happens. And it's like, it took me aback because I was kind of like, what? Like, it's kind of weird. Because I thought the legs weren't important. I thought he didn't care. But he's been confined because of all of his treatments, right? So,
yeah.
Even in outcome, he's been confined the entire time. And they haven't actually been able to get on with their lives because of that. They've basically been in, like, a stasis, and that's the whole purpose of the time skip. And then whenever they can actually work towards their future, both them and Ryo can actually move forward, that's when the light orb happens.
Mm.
So it was, like, that whole thing was kind of, like, an important piece of, like, it's like a development in that you can't, they weren't rushing it, I guess. They wanted to, there needed to be that moment of freedom, right? Like, it wasn't there yet. And so I felt like the treatment process was something that was very important, in that if you had just taken his legs off or whatever, then it wouldn't have had the same impact than what cancer treatment is like, where you're waiting.
You wouldn't have gained the happiness, maybe, is what you're saying?
You have this never-ending, seemingly endless amount of period whenever someone is going through cancer treatments, where you're just waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting to hear more news, and it's checkup after checkup and surgery after surgery. It just keeps going on and on until you finally get the all clear. And so they can finally declare it something that is no longer attached to you. And then with that comes great relief. And I felt like that was important.
Yeah, I guess what the biz it might be trying to say is, like, you can't get that happiness if you're still haunted by the sickness. But about the light orb and the happiness, I know a lot of people call it Cape's light orb. And I want to ask you guys, whose light orb do you think was what Tomoya received? Like, I think it was both of them. Actually, yeah. I kind of want to point out, like, do you think that light orbs might be attached to a character?
It's attached to... I think it's attached to, like, literally the emotion. And even if that emotion is something that is shared, then it's... So, like, you could say it is both Ryo and Cape's light orb, or Tomoya and Ryo and Cape's light orb, whatever you want to call it. It's the moment, I think, that's important. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like Shimon Masai. Yeah. I just say it's X light orb for the sake of convenience, yeah. To put a name to it. But yeah. But yeah,
I agree.
You'd be right there.
I don't think it's tied to any individual.
Yeah, I guess that's what I wanted to bring up mostly, is that I think really the light orbs are more situational than character-based. Like, because... Some people might think, like, oh, if this character isn't happy, then there wouldn't be a light orb. But I think it's really more of the situation that happens. Like, Yukine does say in the route where the light orbs appear when something truly happy happens. It's not something truly happy happens to one person.
It may not even be the fact that it happens. It might literally be the happiness. Like, think of it as, yep, like kind of a tangible existence, like a formation of that feeling. It's like an aura, I guess.
Mm. But are we completely denying the possibility that Cape didn't make it out okay?
And that's where I want to connect it, actually. I was waiting for you to say that, Aspi. Because getting the light orb begs the question, would it be a happy situation if Cape, for example, knock on wood, didn't survive the treatment? Like, if he did stay with the cancer? And my personal opinion is that it doesn't matter. That I think, even if it's bittersweet, it would have still been happiness, because those past 5 years would have been basically him living out his life to the fullest, even if it is in the hospital bed, because he would be with Ryo. He even got married with Ryo. And I think that in itself is true happiness. And even if, let's say, after the 5 years and they declare that you still have the cancer, it kind of makes them stop having to think and worry about... have to worry about trying to beat this, and it kind of puts them in a situation where they can let the nature run its course. And I think that's when they realize that it's true happiness. So, for example, if Cape didn't survive, then Ryo can let nature run its course, and she can look back and have no regrets over what happened. And I think part of gaining happiness is not having any regrets whatsoever.
Yes. So there's two opposing interpretations of what happened in that ending. Either Kenpei, yeah, you know, did survive the treatment and everything's fine, or he didn't survive and that's why Tomoe got called in. I mean, that he's at the end of his rope, and that's why we didn't see the CG, because he's going through all, he's looking terrible from all his cancer treatment.
Mm. Mm. That's like a valid interpretation, I think.
Yeah,
but you can look at it a few ways. I just interpreted it as something that they can actually move away from that, what is ailing their advancement. So that I feel like there needed to be a release. Sure, maybe, okay, he died, and then that's their release, that he had a happy moment in his life. Sure, believe it. I don't know, it's just how I took it the other way.
That's fine.
You can take it both ways.
Yeah, seriously, like, I don't, it's very ambiguous. It kind of bugs me a little bit. Like,
it doesn't particularly matter.
That's what Pepe's saying. Still, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't hear any of it. I was lagging.
Well.
Yeah. It's, like I said, I don't know. I stick to the whole, it seems weird to me that even if he did die in that moment, then why is it just now that he's going to decide, okay, I was happy. I felt like it was like playing towards the announcement of being free. I guess it's just how you think about it. Whatever.
Yeah, I can see what you mean, though. Like, I don't think that smile Ryo had on her face was the smile of someone who's about to lose her husband.
Maybe, yeah. I think they're hinting at a very happy ending. But I also like it when stories do this kind of ambiguity, because it kind of tells you that that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is not to save Cape's life. The point of the story is to make him realize what is important in his life. So,
yeah,
I like it when stories do that. I remember another anime, which I will not mention because it's spoilers, but they also did that in the ending.
Yep.
I guess we should start wrapping things up. We had a lot more to talk about in this podcast than I initially expected, so good job, guys. So I'll do our normal shout-out to forum members Helios Alpha, Zach M, Kuketsuki Miu, and Pepe, our very own forum member here. Basically, quality over quantity again this time, guys. I was able to participate in the discussion this time. I was really happy about that, because since this was such a short route, I didn't have to lag behind. I've actually read up to Tsunahara already, so I'm finally back on track for the book club discussion. Yay! So I look forward to participating in all the future discussions with you guys.
Yay! I'm slowly catching up to you, Aspie.
Yeah, come on. Get on it, guys. We've got to catch up. And I'd also like to draw, I forgot about it last episode, but we actually, on the forum we had a call out asking for fan art submissions, and I was surprised quite a few people accepted the challenge and did quite a bit of Kyo and Ryo fan art. It was really good. So we had quite a few fan art submissions by Cheska. She has been very prominent in previous book clubs, so it's great to see her back on board. We also had Ekalina, another of our favourite artists on the forum. We got some art of all the different characters, actually, not just Kyo. And more art by Cheska. Cheska and Ekalina, thank you so much for your submissions. It's really awesome.
They're really good.
Unfortunately, we didn't get any art for Cape this week, so I'm a little bit sad about that. I really want some Cape art, but
I don't think I've ever seen any Cape fan art in general.
There really isn't a lot, is there? I should look for that. No. Yeah, seriously, like, he is an underrated character. It's because he wasn't in the anime.
Probably because he doesn't have any legs. It's hard to draw somebody who never made their
legs. Hey, I thought you were going to say because he wasn't in the anime, but then you just come out with the legs. Great job.
Well, that has part to do with it, because, okay, so he's got, like, a top half. That's all we know. We don't know what the bottom half of Cape looks like.
Oh, that's what you're
never been officially drawn.
As far as I
can't
know,
argue with that. No, I can't. God.
Come on, guys. Next week is Tsunahara, so obviously we're gonna get
make some Cape fan art.
May and Tsunahara.
I want to see Cape's legs.
But if you wanted to, Cape art will really like you. Oh man, good. Okay, I guess I'll wrap that up there.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for your contribution.
I have to leave everybody with the
begging for fan art.
With the epic question of whether or not Kepe actually has legs.
He has robotic legs.
I hate you, Biz.
Very good. This has been the Kazumat 3 Clannad Book Club Podcast, the Kepe written by Kai. I'm your host, Aspiety, and joining me today we have Biscuito, Pepe, and Naoki Satin. Thank you once again, guys, and we'll see you again for some Bummer Head Party Time!
You said her first name again!
Sore do Benzakaba.
We did some researching, and turns out Cafe does have legs! Oh my god, he's so girly!